Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Despite expectations that recruitment of foreign domestic workers from Indonesia would be permitted at the start of the year, there is still little clarity from the Human Resources Ministry on the matter. A long-awaited bilateral agreement on recruitment terms for foreign labour from Indonesia to Malaysia is expected to be signed early next month. However, details are scant, leaving domestic workers, employers and recruitment agencies in the dark. Our first guest tonight is Engku Ahmad Fauzi Engku Mohsin, President of the Malaysian Made Employers Association, which represents the interests and rights of the employer. Pak Engku, help us understand the current situation. I mean, there are reports of a shortage of domestic helpers throughout the pandemic. I'm just wondering, what are some of the factors influencing this reported shortage of foreign domestic workers?
Good evening. Now, it's about demand and supply. So, although during the pandemic, we had most of us are working at home, and even schools also are schooling from home. So the home is going to be crowded. And when the home is crowded, the workstation are always being interfered by the children. Yeah. So therefore, the needs and demand for maids to help overcome this is very apparent. It's very apparent. And number two is the supply. You know, the pandemic actually stopped the flow of incoming foreign domestic worker. So we have a problem of the demand very high and the supply very low. So that contributes to the situation. Yes.
I wonder though, can I ask you if the result of the pandemic, people had changed their behavior, had a rethink about having live-in domestic workers. You know, there are professional cleaning services, and much of housework can be outsourced. And what when you mentioned children, perhaps even care centers for children. So how is it, or in sort of looking at the situation, have Malaysians, middle-class Malaysians who can afford to have foreign domestic workers, have they changed their habits? Have they had a rethink?
I think they are slowly going to change their habit, going to adapt to the situation. Yes, that's true. But it takes time because Malaysians are used with the living in helper or maid, foreign domestic worker. And when it comes to the sourcing the part-time sources, you know, those sources, number one, are only for certain hours. Yeah? This part-time part-time services. If it's local domestic our own Malaysian citizen, it's okay. But I wonder whether there's any license by the government for foreign domestic worker working part-time. We have maids from other countries working part-time. I don't know whether there's some proper legal permit for that. So that's quite dangerous. One more thing. When it comes to pandemic, it's better to have in-house and living in a maid helper, because those who come and go part-time is quite dangerous in this time. Yeah.
Okay, so just to come back to the MOU that is expected to be signed next month, lots of anticipation, expectations that this would get through quickly this year, but apparently there's still some hold up in terms of bilateral negotiations. Can you help us understand what it is that you would like to see in this MOU?
Okay, in this MOU, I'd like to see, number one is the SOP. During the pandemic, there must be a clear spell out SOP, standard operating procedure, for both for the employer and for the maids. Yeah, so that's very important in this pandemic era. Yeah? And number two is the you have to itemize. Yeah, you have to itemize the cost component, and the cost element that involved in the understanding, you know, or whatever figure that we have to pay to get the maid. And lastly, it's about the quality. No, it must be spelled out clearly, the training, the quality, because we want quality foreign domestic workers. Yeah.
Oh, were there problems in the previous system of recruitment that you would like to see addressed? Were there things that stood out to you in the old system that needs changing?
Okay. We like the online system. Yeah. And we prefer the online system, the portal where we can apply online. The traffic flow, you know, we cannot be helped by the traffic flow jam. Sometimes when we go into the portal, it takes time. Yeah? So we like the system to be more efficient, effective, and. To have the process expedite better. Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Pak Unku, for joining us on the show. Unku Ahmad Fauzi from the Malaysian Maid Employers Association there. A quick break here and consider this. We'll be right back with more on the topic. Don't go anywhere. Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. If you've just joined us on the show, we're discussing the recruitment policy for foreign domestic workers from Indonesia. We speak now to Fiona Lau. She's president of the Malaysian National Association of Employment Agencies. Fiona, the Human Resources Ministry, in kind of negotiating with Indonesia about this bilateral agreement, about this MOU, they have proposed, or they've said, that the recruitment costs for Indonesian domestic workers could be capped in a range between 10,000 ringgit to 15,000 ringgit. Can I get your thoughts on what you make of this proposed range?
Hi, good evening. Yeah, no doubt Malaysia government is wish to have a cap of recruitment fees, recruitment costs, in between the cost about 10,000 to 15,000. But then this is because of we have to depend on the Indonesia side, you know, on the recruitment.
So Fiona,
Sorry, Fiona,
what goes into this particular amount, and how is it that it's being controlled by the Indonesian side of the negotiations?
There are so many aspects that we cannot saying that it is control, because this is recruitment. The recruitment is involved of a lot of the, you know, uncertainty, because there are so many difference of circumstances, like, you know, when we are doing recruitment, you know, the different of circumstances like distance, the difference of service training provided, or this is the distance from the way, from where, from which provinces, you know, the meat to be brought to the central of Jakarta to be processed. So all these are very, very uncertain. There are so many aspects also because of the recruitment, because of the processing, unless this is able to be controlled. Because, you know, from all the while, from before until now, there are so many differences it is involved.
Right. Well, previously, if I'm not mistaken, before the pandemic, the recruitment fee range was between 16,000 to 20,000, which is very high. And I'm guessing the Human Resource Ministry is thinking about providing a cap so it doesn't become exploitative. I'm just wondering whether what are the implications of recruitment fees being capped? Who bears the burden of those fees, and that difference? Who will absorb that difference?
Yeah, if let's say according to the Indonesia law, Indonesia labor law, you know, all the workers and all the housemates who come to Malaysia, they are under the zero cost recruitment. So if, let's say, under this law, that means the employer who are employing the worker have to bear for the recruitment fees and all the expenses.
Fiona, is there, you know, is the solution to some is to have multiple sources for foreign domestic workers? I understand because traditionally the Philippines and perhaps Sri Lanka and so on, so were sources for foreign domestic workers. Do you see any move to look beyond these traditional countries for foreign domestic workers?
Yeah, no doubt our government has already opened for 14 source countries for the housemaid. But then there are quite a lot of the countries, they have their own labor laws and a restriction for the woman to work abroad as a housemaid. So currently, you know, majority of the housemaids are from Indonesia and Philippines, even though from Sri Lanka also not many. So we hope that, you know, our government is going to be considered for more other countries to be able to bring in their housemates, such like Bangladesh or Nepal. So this will be the good choice, you know, to help the Malaysia in this moment for the shortage of housemates.
All right. Fiona, ahead of the MOU signing, I'm just wondering, what is it that remains unclear for recruitment agencies like the association, the industry association you had? What questions remain unanswered, and what is it that you're expecting to be addressed in this MOU?
Basically, the MOU is the Indonesia wanted to have is the salary. So they would like to raise the salary to 1,500, you know, where else Malaysia, we are still having the minimum wages of 1,002. I believe from the 1,005, the Indonesia request, this will be from the comparison to other countries because they are sending many of their laborers to other countries, such like Hong Kong, Taiwan, Singapore. You know, if let's say compared to the salary that they are getting, Malaysia will be the lowest. That's why they might, you know, consider this to cap the salary on 1,005. And also because, you know, when they compare to the minimum wages of 1,002, which is offered to the worker, which they are working for 8 hours. So where else for the housemaid, usually that they will work, you know, at home, which very difficult to determine whether they are working for the 8 hours or more than the 8 hours. So it's just like, you know, the housewife at home, they are working for their children, they are working to take care of their old folks, and they are also doing the housework. So this possible is from the comparison and because of the protection of the housemaid.
Yeah, Fiona, on that score, can we just address this question of how maids are in fact exploited? They might get a better salary, but, you know, they're made to do all kinds of jobs. Families don't know and have no boundaries. You know, maids work 24/7. You know, 24 hours, 7 days a week. These kinds of abusive practices. How do you stop it? I mean, do you have to empower maids, allow maids to report if they're being exploited? What mechanisms can ensure that maids are not exploited by the families who hire them?
You know, we have to be educated to the employer, and the employer also have to be learn to be more open-minded because, you know, the housemates are working at our house. They are also the daughter of other people, you see. So we have to treat them as a human, and we are treat them as like our family members. You know, they are living together with us. So whatever it is, so we have to be nice to people. Then people are getting their pay. They are getting their, you know, they are coming here for the living. They are coming here to look for their money, you know, to send home for their family as well. So they are having the family just like us that they need. You know, we are needing their help, and then they are coming here to look for the jobs, to look for money. So all the while, you know, housemaid, we have to be treating nice. If let's say, like, talking about how are we going to overcome on this, you know, I wish the government or the employer, if they say that they are qualified, they are able to take more than one maid. Like, you know, our government also can come up with a solution, like, you know, based on employer's income, they are able to take how many maids that based on their income, rather than to restrict for one family, one maid, or maximum two. Something like this, this is a very good solution for them. And housemaid also now, they are also educated to be understand, you know, what are the other job scope or this. So that's why Indonesia have come up with one maid, one task. This is also one of the factor because of maid are overworked in previous.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Fiona, for highlighting the one maid, one task proposal. That was Fiona Love from the Malaysia National Association of Employment Agencies. Another quick break here on Consider This. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Hi, thanks so much for staying with Shred and I on Consider This. We'll continue our conversation now about the recruitment and protection of foreign domestic workers from Indonesia, this ahead of a bilateral agreement to be signed next month. We speak now to Irene Xavier. She's the Executive Director of Persatuan Sahabat Wanita Selangor. Irene, this pandemic has really provided us an opportunity for systems to be rebuilt, to be better, to be fairer, especially when addressing exploitation and abuse that has emerged from policy and legislation gap. I'm just wondering, when it comes to foreign domestic workers in Malaysia, Irene, where exactly do you see those gaps?
I think the first and the biggest gap is that we do not have a consistent policy, a policy that is comprehensive, that covers everything related to migrant workers. So we only have piecemeal, ad hoc decisions made from time to time, but there is no real policy that will govern all aspects of migrant work. I think that is our biggest policy gap.
And we have, Irene, when it...
When
it comes to domestic workers, what specific gaps do you see, or what specific needs do they have in relation to, employment, the home situation, such that you think needs to be addressed?
I think among the migrant workers, domestic workers have the least protection. Actually, they do not enjoy any kind of protection in the law. The Employment Act just mentions them, and still they haven't even changed the way in which they address them. They say they are domestic servants. Even that has not changed. And the first schedule of the Employment Act denies them the rights that all other workers have. For example, denies them the right to hours of work, to a weekly rest day, to all other health and safety. Nothing, no social security. They are denied everything. Only recently, last year, the minister has said that the social security is now mandatory for domestic workers. That is the only slight change that we have seen recently. Besides that, they have no rights, basically.
Right. So why exactly is that? Is this because it's gendered? Is there a gendered element to it, to the fact that there is so much exploitation and the fact they do not have rights?
Yeah, I think it is. Because how can a government blatantly discriminate against a group of workers in the law? How can they do that? I think they have the boldness to do that because these are all women workers. So I think there is a gender bias, definitely.
Irene, do you think that live-in domestic workers, I mean, the whole concept of live-in domestic workers should be phased out. That is a source of so many problems, both exploitation, no limits on working hours, the potential for sexual exploitation. All this exists because the worker is trapped within the home of the employer and no boundaries are set.
Yes. Yes, I certainly think this is one way in which you can give them more rights because they, as you said, they are confined to the employer's house 24 hours of the day. Every time they want to go out, they need to get permission. Nobody is there to see how many hours of work that they do, where they sleep, what they eat. All of these things are done unsupervised. So I think it is best that if they come into a household, they do the work, and then they go back home,
right.
They will have greater mobility.
Right. Irene, can I ask you, is there political will to address exploitation and abuse of foreign domestic workers? Is there any kind of, conversation happening? Because it seems to be a perennial problem, a long-standing one, particularly ahead of this MOU that's expected to be signed where there's bilateral negotiations happening. Is there likely to be an element of protection for foreign domestic workers coming into Malaysia?
We have been talking about this to the government for a long time, and then we were disappointed when they tabled the Employment Amendment Bill last year, 2021. We were very disappointed that they did nothing for the domestic workers except change the domestic servants and now call them domestic employees. But the first schedule is still there. So we again spoke to the minister and said, this is unacceptable. So they have postponed the second reading, and we expect it to come perhaps in the next sitting in March. It has been an up and down relationship with the government. There were many governments who promised that they would do something, and then they didn't.
Irene, can I just the last minute we have, very quick question for you. And then for activists like yourselves, do you actually put hope in the sending countries, the countries the maids come from, that it's their governments, national governments, that have to set up protective legislation so that their citizens aren't exploited when they come to Malaysia?
I mean, we have seen, for example, the government of Philippines, they are very committed when they send out their migrant workers. So, for example, the domestic workers from Philippines have about the best protection in this country because their government insists. Their government actually has an agreement and says that if you employ our workers, these are the things that they need to give. So their salaries are higher, they have a weekly rest day. Of course, there are still violations, but because the government has this political will from the sending country, the countries of origin, it makes a difference. So I think the countries of origin have power, and Indonesia has tried to exercise it, and that's why the MOU took so long before it was settled.
Irene, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Irene Xavier from Persatuan Sahabat Wanita Selangor, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Good night.